You know, Jesus was a great reformer as well as a great preacher and a great prophet. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew and read just a little bit of his sayings. Matthew, the 6th chapter, first verse. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Or either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which it today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereand. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it failed not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. You know, Jesus, he asks us the question here. You know, he leaves, I'll say, a question in the hearts of the people as to who he is, what he is trying to say, and what all this is about. They never met a man like Jesus, never. Because Jesus did not talk with them as did the scribes and the Pharisees. There was something about Jesus that the way that he spoke to them, it was altogether different from that of the scribes and of the Pharisees. For he spoke to them as though he was sent from God. Whereas the others spoke to them in a manner as if to say, it would be good if you would do this, or I think it would be better if you would do this. But whatever you fail to do, well, that's what you do. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus would say, ye must be born again. And Jesus would tell them that they must do this and they must do that. And it always tore them up when they would hear him preach. For they took the attitude, who is he to tell me what I must do? I'm a man like he's a man. Is not this the carpenter's son? Who is he? Why does he talk to us like this? And even to the rabbis, and even to the great leaders, the Jewish leaders, Jesus would constantly say to them, ye must do this. And if you don't do this, then such and such will happen to you. And they were all tore up about it, because he taught them as one having authority. Therefore, they said, never man spake like this man. He speaks as one having authority. So then, it is a true fact that Jesus confounded the multitudes. He was a great leader. He was a great reformer. He was a great prophet. He was a great teacher. But he'd done such great things in his day that he hath never been forgotten. Even until the day that we're living in, he is outstanding above all great men. I spoke the other night of Luther, how that Luther started the Reformation. how great Luther is in the minds of the people. When they think of Martin Luther, they think of the great reformer and the man that really started something that has transformed the minds of the entire world. Martin Luther, professor of the Wittenberg College, a man that just stepped out, nailed those theses on the cathedral door there, stood up for something, changed the whole entire system around, set up schools, done great things, and confounded the people round about because he changed the entire system. A man, but nevertheless, he never measured up to Jesus. Great and mighty is he in the minds of the people. And it's so wonderful to know that what he did hath a great bearing on the world today, and especially America. You know, I know sometimes you must wonder, you look back and you think, well, those German people are so smart. Why are they so intelligent? Why does it seem like that they stand out above all the people of the world? You know why? Because a man by the name of Martin Luther closed out the Dark Age, stepped up with the Word of God and taught the just shall live by faith. He opened the minds of the German people. He set up schools, got everything set up to where those people were educated with the understanding of God, and their minds came open while the rest of the world was in darkness. And they were indoctrinated with the Word of God. The man set up schools everywhere and started a great new thing that transformated the mind of the entire, well, Europe, all across Europe. History says it spread all across Europe. And I spoke here one night of men like John Knox over in Scotland, how that when they put him out of the church, great man, got up in the balcony of the window there in Scotland and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ before he would be defeated. Men like John Calvin over in Switzerland that stood and preached the gospel. Great men that will be remembered as the years roll on. Great and mighty men, but none of them was equal to this great man Jesus. All of them was great men that started great revivals, Brother Bill. They swept across the continent. Martin Luther's great stride, his great endeavors so increased as men enlarged upon him that all of Europe was swallowed up. Ireland, every place was swallowed up until God began to move in such a way that after that experience of 15 and 17, things opened up in such a way by 16 and 11 they had wrote the King James Version of the Bible. And by 16 and 20, the pilgrims had come to America and a great thing had broke out. And men like George Whitefield and John Wesley between 1740 and 1776 started a great move of God, insomuch that everybody throughout the country was stirred. Things begin to happen. Men begin to raise up for God. See, it had been a dark age. It had been a dark time. Every time you do away with the Word of God, the darkness always comes. When the apostles was killed out, when the apostolic church was killed out, there wasn't anything left but darkness. Isn't that right? The darkness began to sweep over the land. Just as quick as they killed John, 96 A.D., that darkness began to fall over the world. Everything began to happen. And it wasn't until Martin Luther brought the Word of God back that light began to come into the land. Did you know that the same thing is happening again to America? I made the statement here one night that George Whitefield, standing on a corner, according to history, here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Benjamin Franklin said he could hear him a mile away as he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing today? What are you doing? What am I doing today to help bring revival to the people or help restore the things that have been lost? What are we doing to transform the minds of the people to bring them back to the ways of the apostolic teachings of God? Darkness always follows. Always it follows. You know, people recognized great leaders. Isn't that right? Amen. Churchill, Winston Churchill, according to history, recognized great leaders. Recognized great leaders when men like Whitefield and men like Wesley came into America. He had statements concerning it. He made statements concerning it after the Second World War. They said something to him about America. He said that we have given America something great. We have given them something. Something great. We've given them George Whitefield. Said we've given them Wesley. We don't owe America anything. Because America stood up for them, they said, you owe America something. Churchill said, we don't owe them anything. We've given them these two great men. Think about that. That great leader recognized things that was of God. Revival broke out. Always it's been like that. Always things happen. Great things happen when the Word of God was brought back. Did you know it was when John Dewey started his atheistic move back between 19 and 20 and 30 that everything began to decline again. Everything began to get into the darkness again. And whether you believe it or not, you can search it out. It always brings trouble. Always brings heartaches. Always brings depression. Always does away with prosperity. When he come in with that atheistic teachings, begin to strike at the things of God, that began to sweep across the campuses of America, then the first thing that happened, depression set in. By 1929, when Hoover was in office, the stock markets crashed. The banks went bankrupted. By 32, 12 million people was unemployed. No way to cope with it. Why? Because they took the Word of God away. They fought the Word of God. People were having a hard time. And it wasn't until Roosevelt come in with his, what he called the New Deal, and begin to give some federal relief to the people. Whereas Hoover didn't believe in that. He believed that they should take care of themselves locally. But it wasn't until he come in and had some convictions, it wasn't until then that things began to brighten up. Within a short time, the world was in such prosperity that the whole situation had changed, and especially America. And they were able to lend $46 billion to the Allies, while as a few years back, they were literally starving to death. What caused this? When Roosevelt stood up and made the statement, the only thing that the world has to fear is fear itself. Knowing something about God. Understanding something about God. See, God came on the scene and began to do something. And the Bible said when you help the poor, when you do something for the poor, following the ways of the Bible, then thy light shall return unto thee speedily. Thy health shall return unto thee. All of the blessings of the Lord shall be upon thee. And Roosevelt began to do that, and they began to consider the poor and the needy. Everything sprang up. Hoover held back. Hoover wouldn't do it. Hoover didn't feel that was a thing to do. Even though he was concerned about the poor, yet he never done those things that Roosevelt done. Great leaders, but none of those measured up to Jesus. Not any of those were like the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest perhaps that ever lived was our President Roosevelt, who's so loved by the people, but not measuring up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always, always, when you move God's Word, you're headed for bad times. You know, I say this as a pastor to the people of Little Bethlehem. I say it not only to those of Little Bethlehem, but to all that can hear my voice, but especially to the flock of Little Bethlehem. You people that know the ways of God, You need to humble your heart. You need to follow Christ. You need to honor God's word, and then find that God will give you the blessings that you so desire and the things that you're looking for in your life. You need to give God a chance to see if God will do it. Not only you, but America. And not only America, but the world. They need to turn to God. They need to get rid of their atheistic practices and all of their atheistic teachings. They need to get rid of their corrupt seminaries and get rid of their corrupt schools and all of those things that keep coming against the Word of God. I made the statement here one night that John Wesley, he made the statement years ago. The school was so corrupt, he said, you would be better off to send your child to the devil than to send him to a school. And I believe today I can repeat the words of John Wesley. You'd be better off to send your child to the devil than to send him to a public school. I believe with all of my heart that the school system is so rotten, so corrupt, that it needs to be completely torn down, renovated, and started all over again. I believe we need a new educational system. They have strayed so from the Word of God, got into such state of apostasy and complacence, that the world today is just stumbling in darkness. They don't know what they're doing. The government is spending billions of dollars, foolishly, in what is supposed to be educational plans. More plans to spend more billions. They're robbing the people blind. And while they say to you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to do this for you so that you don't have to do it yourself, they're putting you in such a state of dilemma until a communistic move is coming over you and swallowing you up to where you won't be able to have any control of yourself, of your way of life, or anything else. What causes such a thing to happen? It's nothing but laziness. When people get spiritually lazy and people get naturally lazy, then somebody has to do the job for them. Isn't that right? That's why men keep searching for machinery, always searching for machinery, to keep from putting forth a little elbow grease. But brother, I'm going to tell you one thing, and you can believe me or not, but there'll never be a machine made that'll take the place of prayer. God's going to expect you to put forth a little elbow grease and put your knees down on the floor once in a while and call upon the name of Jesus. And they're not going to come up with a machine that'll do it for you. You're not going to get away from it. You're going to do something with these hands and something with these knees, and you're going to do something with that mouth of yours. You're going to have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the machine age might be wonderful. You might consider it to be a great thing, and it is a great thing. But I say that when people depend on machinery to do the things that they ought to do themselves, that's nothing but laziness. And I say that when people yield up their rights to the government, to the president, to any other form of government, or any other people to do for them what they ought to do for themselves, they are a foolish bunch of people. Because those people will soon have control of you, and you won't have any sovereignty of your own or any liberty of your own. You'll be under a government where a dictator will rule over you and tell you everything that you've got to do. I believe that we ought to have one government, and that is the Word of God. I don't agree with Russia's government. I don't agree with America's government. I don't agree with China's government. I don't agree with anybody's government but God's government. That's the only government I agree with. Somebody say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in the American government? I certainly do not. Nor the Russian government, nor anybody else's government. God's the only one that's got the true government. What we need is God's government for the earth. We don't need the American government. We don't need Russian government. We need God's government. When the people of the government of America take the word of God and go back to it, then we'll have a true American government. American government is not a true American government. It is not the government that our forefathers laid down to begin with. It is a corrupt system that is robbing the people blind and spending foolishly billions of dollars and letting the poor go hungry and carelessly shooting at the moon and Mars and everywhere else. And we're the one that's having to pay for it. Their plans of expenditures, they act like a bunch of children. Now, I believe that we ought to have a true government. And when they first set up the government in America, they set it up from the Bible. When that great government spread throughout Europe, that was a government of the Bible. America was born out of a prayer meeting over in the old country. And today it exists because of a prayer meeting. We don't need senators. What we need is preachers. God, give us some preachers. And some that you don't have to put on a payroll and give them a salary. Give us some God-sent preachers. The best senators you'll ever have will be God men. The Bible don't say that the government's upon the shoulders of the senators anyway. It says the government is upon the shoulders of the sons of God. That's where the government rests. We're the controlling factor in the earth, not the senators. Don't you know the natural people of this world don't have enough understanding to run God's business? God created heaven. God created the earth. God is the one that made humanity. Since when does natural men with their natural brilliance, because they went to some school and got a silly piece of paper, when did that make them qualified to run God's business? Because they spent 5 or 6 years in college and somebody says you are a super star. Or you're some superman. And that gives them a right to run God's business. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. The Bible tells me that I must be about my Father's business. The Bible tells me that you must be about your Father's business. And every son of God must be about his Father's business. And what is the Father's business? The Word of God. Spreading the Word of God. And seeing that the kingdom of God is spread in the earth. But what's up? What is our duty in the earth today? For one purpose, and that's to build the kingdom of God in the earth, or establish the kingdom of God in the earth, so that all men can have equal rights and all men can see the millennium government come in with Christ Jesus at the head of it. I thank God for every law that is decent and upright. I thank God for every form of government, whether in America or any place in the world, where it is right and where it is fair. And I say that there is no law and no form of government here in America or any other place in the world that is fair and just and right unless it's founded on God's word. I say there is no such government. I don't believe there's a living human being any place in the world that can prove otherwise. I challenge any man in the world, it doesn't matter to me if he's a president, senator, preacher, whatever he is, I challenge him to prove to me where there's one law, one form of government that's decent and upright for the people, unless it's founded upon the Word of God. He can't find it. Now then, so I believe in one government, that's God's government. I believe in one form of government, and that is the people. I believe that the government is of the people and by the people and should be carried on by the power of your will and desire. And when I say that, I mean God people. God people. People that don't know God, they don't know what they're doing. I might say, all them brilliant people, I've never seen a brilliant person that didn't know God. Every brilliant person I ever seen known God. I've seen men that had all kind of certificates, been through college, know all kind of things, and didn't even hardly know how to put their shoe on, so to speak. I'm talking about spiritually. When it comes to real good common sense and knowing what to do, some of them didn't even know what they were doing. Folks, what we need is not to be heady, as I said, but hearty. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, educational. I believe in godly education, but I believe there's only one form of education that's right, and that's God's Word. And I believe that every form of education ought to be a derivative from God's Word, or it's corrupt. I don't believe our Children ought to be taught anything in college, in seminary, in high school, in grammar school, or any other place unless God's Word is the root of it. America ought to be strong enough, godly enough, to rise up and have a backbone to stand up for God and stop a bunch of hypocrites, a religious hypocrite, from causing the problems that they're causing in the government today and in the schools and around the world. A bunch of religious hypocrites. You go up to them and you say, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh yes, I believe in God. I belong to such and such a church." The hypocrite, Jesus said, he was a hypocrite. It don't make any difference what church you belong to. If you don't know the Word of God and you're not founded on the Word of God and you're not born to the Spirit of God, you're a hypocrite. And you've got no business trying to tell anybody anything. Not anything. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." I believe that a man has got to be born to the Spirit of God. If I'm going to lead people, I got to have something to lead people with. I'm not qualified to lead people just because I bounced out of some college. I'm not qualified to lead America because I know something about their governmental order that they've got together and put together. Neither are they qualified to do it. I'm not qualified to sit as a judge and judge somebody of something that I don't know anything about. You say, "But Brother Pike, the judge knows about the law." God doesn't expect him to know about the law. God expects him to know about God. Know about mercy. Know about humanity. Jesus didn't come down here and go to college so he could feel your infirmities. He didn't come down here to try to go through some seminary so he'd know how to lead you. The Bible says he come here and was partakers of your grief and of your sufferings so that he could be the high priest and feel the feelings of your infirmity. What college did Jesus ever graduate from? What school did Jesus ever attend to try to get education? God didn't do that. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to feel the feelings of your infirmity. I can't judge you just because I got some kind of brainstorm up here that I call education. I can't understand humanity because they give me 6 years in college. I've got to know something about humanity, something about suffering. Amen. If that judge that's sitting on that seat has been subjected to sufferings, if he spent 5 years in prison, if he knows what it is to be beat around with blackjacks and manhandled by the law, then he's in shape to judge somebody when they come before him. But if he hasn't, he's not in shape to do it. So then, for the feeling of infirmities, how in the world can senators, that's a bunch of silly playboys that's got playing golf on their mind, lead the people? How can presidents and leaders, that's a bunch of playboys that's got money and fame and popularity on their mind, how can they be leaders of people? It's got to be men of God. It's got to be men that have spent some time with God. In the Bible, it doesn't say that they took notice of these men that they'd been to seminary. It doesn't say that they took notice of these men that they'd been to college, but rather that they'd been with Christ. What we need to do is go with God. We need to learn about God. We need to be filled with God. We need to be able to feel the infirmities of the people. I see people and hear people over the radio and different ones. They're out campaigning to be a president. They want to be a president. They don't even know how to be a president. They don't know how to be a president. I believe George Washington knew how to be a president. I do. I believe Abe Lincoln knew how to be a president. Because they spent time on their knees. Their greatest textbooks was the Bible. I believe they were great men. I believe they knew what they were doing. But a bunch of silly leaders of today, they don't know what they're doing. They're wrecking the economy. They're bankrupting the nation. They've got everybody tore up everywhere throughout the world because of their foolishness. Sports is driving them slap out of their mind. Even the church has gone crazy running after some rag ball or some kind of junk. lost their minds over silliness and foolishness. And it's the big thing of today. God isn't interested in sports. How many times did Jesus ever try to get on some kind of team? Oh, you say, well, they didn't have any in that day. I'm sure they had them. It might have not been called football, but it was the beginning of it. How many societies did Jesus ever try to join? Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? That's what we're talking about. The Bible said he was our example. We ought to follow in his steps. Surely to goodness, if God had wanted us to do all of those things, his son would have done some of them. He would have joined the Sanhedrin. He would have done something that would have showed us that. But rather than join those things, Jesus came against those things. In the synagogues, he turned over the tables. He drove the money changers out. He went there to the forms of government and told them how corrupt and evil they were. Why didn't Daniel join up with them? Why didn't the Hebrew children join up with them? You say, but Daniel did join up with them. The Hebrew children were statesmen. I know that. When the government was right, they stood by it. But just as quick as it was corrupt, what did they do? They stood there and said, we're not going to bow down to that thing. Come on, folks. Bow down to what? A football game. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We're not going to bow down to it. We're not going to be a silly bunch of people running around here breaking each other's neck over some silly game. People get their collarbones broke, get everything broke, about them tore up. A little boy or somebody gets killed. They say, oh, how sad. Take him out. Play ball. Play ball. A bunch of beasts. That's what it is. That's why they call them by beast names. All of them have beast names because it is the beast. They don't know what they're doing. They can't lead God's people. They can't run the government. They can't run the earth. God made it. If God had been a basketball player, then they could run the earth. If God had been a football player, then they could run the earth. If God had been a charismatic, then they could have run the earth. God's a spirit of holiness. God's not a denominational somebody. God's not looking for dollars and multitude of people. God's not trying to get together the best football team and the best basketball team. God's trying to keep men out of hell. You say, Brother Pike, you talk just like you believe them folks is going to go to hell. As sure as you live in this world, they'll go to hell. Every football team in the world will go to hell. Every one of them. Every basketball team in the world will go to hell. All of them will go to hell. You say, you don't really believe that. I sure do believe it. All of them will go to hell. Why? Because it's contrary to God's word. It's the love of the world. It's foolishness. God doesn't want that. We need to get away from that. We need to grow up and we need to be men and women. Let the little boys and the little girls get out there and bounce their ball and jump rope. And you men get back in the offices where you ought to be and back in the fields where you ought to be. Get back in your homes where you ought to be and be a real man and stand up for something. And you ladies, get away from that silly foolishness about having a career. Get out under a television set and get in there and be a real woman and raise your children and be a real mother and a real wife to your husband. That's what you need to do. You say, Brother Pike, do you think that would straighten the situation out? It absolutely would. It absolutely would. I'll guarantee you if you'll take every woman and put her back in the home where she ought to be. Get her out of the offices. All the playboys will stop their foolishness. And they'll stop their mixed up, sloppy, messed up way of life. Because there won't be any woman around to slop with. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, Brother Pike, you don't mean they're pigs. Jesus called them a bunch of swine. Said to go back to their wallowing in the mire and the dog back to his vomit. I'm only telling you what he had to say about it. He was the example. If that's what he thought about it, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it is. So don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll trample them under their feet and in turn rend you. I believe in one thing, one form of government, God's government. That's all I believe in. I believe in one God, one faith, one baptism. not denominationalism of this and that and something else, and say, well, God understands because these poor people are ignorant and they don't know, and these poor people are ignorant. These bunch of people, they're ignorant, so they play basketball and God has to have mercy. And this bunch is ignorant and they play football and God has to have mercy. And this bunch is ignorant. They lay around in their bathing suits out there in the sun and flapping around in the water. God has to have mercy. The Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and all the rest. God has to have mercy. God ain't going to have mercy on none of them. God's already had mercy when Jesus Christ died at Calvary. That was God's mercy. And brother, at the end of the day, the mercy's going to be over. The blood's going to come off of the mercy seat. There ain't going to be any mercy. And God is going to spare only the righteous, only the righteous, only the righteous. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what God's going to do is take us all in by mercy. God is going to take the righteous in and all the rest is going to be lost. Mercy is not to save anybody. Mercy is to allow for people to get saved. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, mercy isn't to save anybody. It is a plan of God to give you sufficient time to repent of your sins and of your evils and get right with God so God won't have to destroy you, to give you a time, a period. But brother, when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, there ain't going to be any mercy. The Bible didn't say if the merciful scarcely be saved. It said if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If God's going to give mercy, why doesn't He let the sinner and the ungodly appear in mercy and appear in glory? If that's what He's given mercy for, if He's given it for the sinner and He's given it for the ungodly, why doesn't the sinner and the ungodly appear in heaven and in the pleasure of God? He didn't say that. He said, when the righteous of God come forth, I will say, enter into the enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into the blessings of the Lord. My brother, sister, when you put away God's word, when you put away God's way of life, or the world comes to the church and the church goes out in the world, when you do those kind of things, there can't be nothing but trouble. There can't be nothing but problems. How are you going to have God's blessings when you do a thing like that? If the love of the world is in you, the love of my Father, it isn't in you. What is the love of the world, Brother Pike? Is football of God? If it's of God, why isn't it recorded in God's Word? Is basketball of God? Is sports of God? Is frolics like Six Flags and all of these foolishness that men are partaking in, grown men and women hanging up by cables, swinging around like a bunch of silly kids? Is that of God? If it's not of God, it must be of somebody. Amen. Who is it of? The devil. It's of the world. It's of the world. That's what it is. Is women making careers out there? Is that of God? Is that of God? The Bible said, let the woman guide the house. How is she going to guide the house? She's got a career. Her husband too lazy to work, so she goes to work. And some of them that's got a husband is willing to make the living. He ain't got enough backbone to make them stay at home. They rule him when the Bible said the man is supposed to rule over the woman. Because the man wasn't found in the transgression. The woman was found in the transgression. The woman, therefore, being the weaker vessel, she's subject for the devil to lead her. God didn't find anything wrong with the woman. God isn't down on the woman. God's not telling the man he's something better than the woman. But He's simply saying she's like a child compared to the man. That she'll give in easier. And she's more subject to be misled by the devil. She needs a head. She needs a leadership. God, as I said so many times, had to make the woman weaker. How could two men live together, one just as strong-headed as the other? Well, I can't hardly get them to work together. They couldn't do that. I got him here on the home front. I said, hey, you work with this brother. I ain't going to work with him.
See, the woman, she's supposed to be weak enough that the man can possess her over a period of time, that she'll break, surrender, so that he can possess her and they can become one body, one flesh, one motive, one plan. He's supposed to be able to do that. Some woman said, he ain't going to do me that way. No, you devil, you ain't going to let him. You're a devil, that's what you are. You say, but I'm a human being. Jesus said, get behind me, you devil. That's a devil. When a woman is so strong spirited, she won't yield to her husband, she's a devil. She is the body of the devil, filled with the devil. Any woman in her right mind, any woman that's made right, any woman that's straightened out, she'll yield to her companion and follow him gladly. Any church that's a God-fearing church will follow their pastor and listen to what he's got to say. And any pastor that's a God-fearing man will tell them to get out of the world and flee for their life and to stay away from the things of this world and watch for the wolf, because he's a good shepherd. He'll give his life for the sheep. He won't run off and leave them every time something starts going wrong. He won't try to rob them and get every dime he can out of them. Somebody say amen. I'm going to stop in a few minutes. And say, well, I ain't enjoying this. Well, I am. The Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. I'm rejoicing, so you rejoice with me. All right. None of them was like Jesus. How do you agree? Oh, that lovely man called Jesus. Glory to God, that's what the president don't like to hear. That's what the senators don't like to hear. That's what the kings and the queens don't like to hear. That glorious name, Jesus. The name that's above every name. Hallelujah, that soon coming king. The devil don't like to hear that. He don't like to hear that. You know why that tears his playhouse all to pieces? They say, my God, if that Jesus comes along, then we done heard about his word and his way of life, and all of us going to have to do the way he says it. We're sure going to be in a fix. You better believe you are. Hallelujah. That's why we're telling you. That's why preachers is hollering and screaming from TV and radio and printed page and everywhere else. They're telling you about this lovely man called Jesus, because he's coming, and we keep telling you his will and his plans and his desire. And brother, when he sets on his kingdom, he's going to rule with a rod of iron in his kingdom on his throne. When he sets there, he's going to make every knee bow, every tongue confess. And you're going to do it his way. You ain't going to say, well, Lord, I think, but. There won't be no thinking and buts about it. He'll say, it's just like I said. Won't be altered. It won't be changed. Not one iota for you, nor him, nor her, nor anybody else. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, it'll have to be the right way. It'll have to be the right way. You can't serve two masters. Folks, you got to get rid of one of them. That's all it is to it. You got to get rid of one of them. You got to make up that mind of yours that you're going one way or another. We've got to establish a government. We've got to bring the Lord Jesus Christ back into this world. We've got to let them know that we're not going to conform to this world nor their ways. We're going to be transformed, as Paul said, by the renewing of our minds to the Word of God. We're going to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We're not going to have anything to do with their systems or their way. Every law that is just and right, that's godly, we're going to honor it. Every law that's not, we're going to fight against it, and we're going to pray against it, and we're going to tell them that they're wrong and stand up against it as long as life in our body. And if they tell us that they are of God and they play the hypocrite, we're going to tell them they're a hypocrite. You love Jesus? You know, I don't agree with Pat Boone. I love Pat. Talked with him. He seemed like a nice fellow. He talked like he really enjoyed our message. But it's one thing I appreciate about him. When he stood up and made the statement, he said the way Jim is doing, said he couldn't be a Christian. His reputation was at stake, but he still stood up like a man and said something. I appreciate somebody's got a backbone, don't you? Amen. I think we ought to stand up for what we believe, whether he's right or whether he's wrong. He at least stood up for what he believed. That's the way I believe it. I believe that we ought to stand up, Brother Taylor, for what we believe. If Martin Luther could do what he'd done, and John Wesley could do what he'd done, and George Whitefield could do what he'd done, and John Knox could do what he'd done, then why come we can't do something? When the Queen made the statements, I don't fear the alien armies as much as I fear John Knox's prayers, was what she said. I fear John Knox's prayers more than I fear the powers of the alien armies. I'd rather fight the alien armies. I believe I got a better chance, she said, than when John Knox starts praying. Now that woman had some sense right there. She had some sense. Anybody that knows not to come against the man of God, they got some sense, queen, king, or whatever. All right. You know, it's good to be a Christian. Ain't it good to be a Christian? I want to do something for God. I want to see the people of God freed from the bondages and troubles and problems. The world is in a bad fix. I know you're feeling some of the oppression right now, and I know you're feeling some of the problems, but folks, I tell you the truth in God and lie not, that you haven't seen anything yet. They have incorporated laws and they pass rulings and different things until you're talking about problems and heartaches and troubles and bondage and a prison, but you're in it. You're in it that reject God. You're in it. You that reject God, you're in it. That Antichrist system is already set up, and the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, all that come. So you're in for it. You're in for it. So let's be a real true group of people here at Bethlehem. Even the man that stood here, the overseer from the Emmanuel Holiness Church, he told me again and again, he said, Brother Pike, now that same man stood here, testified, and told you how he felt about Little Bethlehem. That same man before went off and said things against Little Bethlehem. He went off and said things, and Brother Wilson warned him when he'd done it and told him the danger he was in. And he went right on and had to have heart surgery and like to died. And when he come back, he said he should have listened before. Now listen now. He said that I should have listened before. He said, Brother Pike, I'm persuaded to believe now it's places like Little Bethlehem that we're going to have to come to be able to survive. Great men of experience, 17 years in a denomination, and about 8 years of that as an overseer. Folks, let's keep our community clean. Let's be children of God. Let's set up a government here that we can have of our own government, the government of God. And let's go back to the Word of God. And if Brother Pike gets off the Word of God, have a backbone like a saw log, and you men stand up and say, wait a minute, brother. You told us that this was the Word of God. And this government's supposed to be on the Word of God. What's happened to you? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let's go back to God's Word. Don't come with a bunch of foolishness just because you think it's all for the Word of God or you don't like it or you got it twisted up because it don't fit your convenience, but find out if it's God's Word. And if Brother Pike isn't here, if something ever happened to me and Jesus tarried, stand up, have a backbone. Don't let some strong-spirited person get in there and be so strong-spirited they override you every time you go to speak and make you shut up. Don't do that. There's always some men that love God. There's always some men that's got enough strength that they'll stand with you. Don't be a troublemaker or God will break your neck like He did the ass in the Old Testament. A stubborn ass, He broke their neck. Don't do that and don't be always causing problems. But be a person that stands up for the Word of God and don't give one inch. Be merciful, be loving, be kind, but be strong-spirited in God, not in the devil and in your own selfish way. Stand up, folks. And when that strong-spirited person stands up and they're going to put some kind of rule and some kind of regulation and some kind of something in there for their convenience, don't have it. So we ain't going to have it. Oh, but I'm Mr. Big. We don't care. We still ain't going to have it. We got a government. This is our government. We're going to stand by it. See, this is the good part about your government, folks. It ain't like some constitution that America wrote up or somebody else wrote up or that some a bunch of corrupt men can come in there and switch around and change around. You can't change this. The Bible said this is settled in heaven right here. Amen. Somebody said, well, what if they get the new version? You don't mess with that. You don't mess with that. We didn't set up the government on the new version. We set it up on this. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They go back to their constitution. This is your constitution. Look, I'm going to say something maybe a little shocking. Just recently, they polled 10,000 ministers. Out of the 10,000, 47% of them did not believe in the virgin birth. Are you listening? 34% of them did not believe in the resurrection. 48% of them, they didn't even believe that the Bible was the inspired Word of God. 10,000 ministers. Is it any wonder why the world is in the condition that it's in today? You know, you think you got a lot of security. You feel like you got a lot of security, don't you? But did you know that in 75 and 6, along there, that about 250,000 people went bankrupt? Did you know that banks are caving in everywhere? The great bank, one of the great banks in Jersey City, Hudson Bank, I believe they call it, went bankrupted. The Franklin Bank took 40% of the coverage of the FDIC to restore. And did you know that your coverage, you think when you put money in the bank, you're foolish. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'll tell you right now, God's got your number. You think you're going to stick money away and let little ones starve to death, but God's got the buzzard on the other end pecking a hole so he can get to it. He's out there, the crow's eating you out of business and you don't know about it. Amen, that's right. Like I read where somebody put $40,000 up and they was going to hold to it. When they got back to it, it come down to $4,000. Oh, nobody will ever do that to me. Not too long ago, two or three of our men here had some money in the bank. The government closed it up, took control of it, took what they wanted out of it. And when the other men went to pay their bills, there wasn't nothing in there. And their good name almost got ruined. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Leaving God out. Leaving God out. The coverage of that I just spoke of, it is so small, they say that they could cover several banks if something happened. But if a succession, they couldn't do it. No way. They say they can't do it. 76, I believe, rose higher than any other year so far of bankruptcy. But banks are folding up. They're going out of business. They're going bankrupted. What is it? The Lord is tired of people stealing, robbing, letting people die. You're going to lose what you got in there anyway. And then you don't give it to God, you're really in a fix. Because you're going to lose that too. Your selfishness and gluttony, being self-centered and not listening to the Word of God, is going to cause you to wind up a pauper and wind up in bad condition even without God. But it's not enough coverage to do you any good. Maybe an average of a dollar per $76, I believe they say. Something like that. That's about what coverage you got. So if anything happens, you can't get it. Somebody say, oh, I'll get it. You just see, I'll get it. Mine's covered. According to the report, it ain't. I don't care what they tell you. The report shows it's about an average of a dollar to $76. So you can imagine what kind of bank accounts you got. You just don't have any insurance, that's all, my friend. All right, what are we going to do? I'm going to follow God. The Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. You can warn the fool, but he'll go right on till the dart strikes through the liver. You can warn a wise man and he'll say, my God, thank God for a warning. I'm going to do something about it. But you want a fool, you say, I don't believe it's like that anyway. I ain't heard that anyway. I can't prove that anyway. And he goes right on. And after a while, he said, my God, it was right. You love Jesus? Oh, folks, there's a whole lot of other things. If we just had time tonight, I could tell you. A lot of things I never mentioned to you, but there's a lot of things that I could mention to you tonight. This old world's in a bad fix. It's in a bad fix. They're just spending money like water. Even the senators are writing letters. I got a letter from Senator Talmadge that asked me to join something. Would I join it to help keep the president from spending us broke? Can't you imagine that? The senators charging the president. And that they say they're spending us broke. Do something. Brother Pike, do something. Who is Brother Pike to do something? The senator's supposed to do something. No, the senator knows he can't do it. So he can't nobody do it but the people. That's why the senator says, Brother Pike, write me a letter. Brother Taylor, write me a letter. You sign this. You pledge this. You support this. But if we sit down like a bunch of foolish people and let the world take over, where are we going to be? All right. Warn the wise man and he'll hear you and he'll grow wiser. I'm trying to warn you. Warn the fool, you'll get yourself a blot. He'll get around to telling somebody about what you said and what you've done. He'll blot you. He'll figure that thing out because you done cut across his case and you done cut across his plans and his motives. And I'll guarantee that he'll get around somewhere. He's going to tell somebody, somehow or another, what you done or what you said and what he thinks about it and why it isn't right because of what he thinks. Somebody say amen. But I'll tell you what, that wise man will say, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't understand it all, but it sounds right to me. I think I'll wait till I find out more about it. All right. Some of you won't have to worry about it. You're so old, you'll be in your grave anyway. So you don't have to pay attention. But some of you better pay attention. Some of you done got so callous and hardened that you're going to go into the lake of fire anyway. You're not going to just live a few more days and out you're going to go and you don't have to pay attention. You know, you want everybody to know that you don't have to listen to that. Oh, you'd wish you had to listen to it. Let's stand together, can you? So high you can't go over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't go around it. You got to go in by the door. There's a door open in heaven. John said, come up here. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or the voice said, come up hither. What a wonderful thought to be a child of the King. We sang that song, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. The day is getting darker. Darker. I want to do something for God. I want to see them presses roll for God. I want to see millions of pieces of literature get out into the minds of the people. I want to help program the minds of the people. I want to drop literature there until everywhere they look, they'll see a piece of literature and they say, what is this? What is this? What is this? I guess I better read it. Help program their minds. I want to do something for humanity, folks. You know, Jim, we got to ordain Jesus. We got to set him on the throne. I made the statement before, and I say it again tonight. He isn't going to force his way in and take over the government. He isn't going to do that. He's a real gentleman all the way. The people just going to love him so much. His people just going to worship him so much. Till they're just going to overthrow every other government and set him on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're going to prove that he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you know what? I brought it out here. It's been many nights back. But I brought it out concerning his lineage. And I can go back in the Bible by the lineage and prove that he has access to the throne of the entire world.
Amen.
I can prove it by the law. And the laws of the land will have to stand behind it just like they do the president and the kings. I can prove it by the law and the lineage. Go back every step and prove it. They got to yield it up. There ain't nothing else they can do. The law will have to stand behind it. Isn't that wonderful? He's that king. That's what the devil don't like. He don't like that. He don't like that. But it's coming, folks. It's coming. I say you can't prove that, so help me God, I can prove it. Down to every jot and tittle can prove it.
is right. It is right. He is the rightful heir to the throne of David. He is. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, sometimes I'd love to get turned loose and really preach. I really would. I'd love to just see the congregation settle down sometime and just turn loose and really preach. Not 61 hours. But I'd love to just really preach. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Jesus. Oh, how I need Thee. You know, we need to really follow God. You know that? The little widow went up into the temple. She gave all of her living. In the days of Elijah, the little widow gave all of her living. The little boy took all that he had, his little fishes and loaves, and gave it to Jesus. They laid down everything they had at the feet of the apostles. You know, my wife said the other day, she said, you know, there's one amazing thing about this ministry. She said, it seems like, I don't know what she said, the most of the people that stand behind you are widows or what? But something to that effect. More widows, she said, that stands with this. She was amazed at it. God is doing a great thing. A great thing. How wonderful to know that God is doing a great thing. You know, one thing, I guess women, they conform easier. They listen easier. They're the weaker spirit. And they make better church members or followers. They don't reason as much in the sense of listening. Even though they're more subject to fall away after they get to be a follower, because they're so easy led astray. But yet they do listen more, and they conform more, and they follow better. Men are always reasoning, always trying to figure something out. A woman, she's pretty good at just calling black, black, and white, white. You know, if she don't like what you're doing, she'll say, I don't like it. If the woman's doing something wrong, the man will try to figure out why she's doing it before he says much about it. But not a woman. If you do something she don't like, she don't like it. So then that makes them a lot easier, you know, when it comes to following the gospel. And many, many women follow the gospel when men fall by the wayside. But still, when a woman's got a husband, a good husband, she needs to follow him. She needs to listen to him. If the man follows God and ain't always trying to reason the Bible away and reason what the preacher says away and reason himself around the Word of God and reason them into a rut, she needs to listen to him. But if I was a woman, you know what I'd do? I think I know what I'd do. If I had the same mind I got now, I know what I'd do. If that husband got out on a limb somewhere, he'd have to show me the Word of God. I'd say, now, wait a minute. And when he showed me the Word of God, I'd say, okay, show it to me in another place. And then when he showed it to me in another place, I'd say, show it to me in another place. Because the Bible said line upon line. And I'd get me two or three places, and he'd have to line that thing up to where it fit perfectly. I'd say, well, if that's the Word of God, that's the way we go. But if he couldn't line it up with the Word of God, I'd say, I love you, but I'm going to go the way of the Bible. I'm going to go the way of the Bible. I'm going to follow God's way. You know, you follow God first and your husband second. You love your wife second, but God first. You seek the welfare of your children after that you seek the kingdom of God and His welfare. You build God's house, and then you build your own. You provide for the family of God, the household of faith, and then you provide for your own. See, it is not your responsibility. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it's my responsibility to provide for my household. No, no, that's not Bible. You can't prove that by the Bible. It is your responsibility to provide for the household of faith and to seek God's kingdom and His will first. And then God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. It's God's responsibility to look after you and your family. It's God's responsibility. Somebody said, well, bless God, He don't look after me. No, because you don't look after Him. There ain't never been nobody that ever followed His plans that ever come short. You play the hypocrite all you want to and complain and turn in your complaints. But brother, there ain't never been one case where a man ever lived right and followed God and sought the kingdom of what God didn't provide for him. Never been a case. Never will be a case. Because the Scripture can't be broken. And the Scripture said, I will supply all of your needs. You say, yeah, but Brother Pike, that means if you believe it. If you seek the kingdom first, that's positive proof you believe it. Because your faith is shown by your works. Can we sing a little more of that chorus? Let's just sing, I love Him. Can we sing that? I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. We will walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Can you sing it again? I will walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. You know what? If you walk in the light, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. But if you walk in the light, folks, as He's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. You know, the flesh will take all of your time away from you. It won't give you any time for God. Did you know that? It'll make you feel important. It'll make you feel you've got to do this. And it'll make you feel you've got to do that. And it'll lead you over here. And it'll lead you over yonder. And it'll keep you tied up all the time. Just the old flesh. Won't never have no time for God. You got to get up. Your kids has got to go to school. You can't sleep late. You better get home. I tell you what, I'd rather mine stay out a week out of every month and spend some time with God than to go through that old wretched way of life and misery, trying to stick them in an early grave anyway and kill them. You love Jesus. Somebody said, I'm preparing them for the future. You sure are. Like the song we wrote, you're preparing them for the lake of fire. Dope addicts and everything else, cursing and drinking and snorting and frolicking, while the teachers and the principals do the same thing. Like I told somebody one time, I said, that principal ain't straight. I don't care what you say. I said, that principal of that school ain't straight. I said, I never been around him. Maybe once or twice. I said, but he ain't straight. I said, he's mixed up with the wrong people and with the women folk. And so it was, they found it out. Principals, the doctors are that way. The principals are that way. The businessmen are that way. The presidents are that way. The senators are that way. Everywhere. Everywhere. But Jesus ain't that way. The sons of God ain't that way. The daughters of the Lord ain't that way. Denominations are that way. Don't you love Him? If you walk in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. Let's lift our hands up again. While you meditate for just a few minutes, I want you to ask yourself the question, what kind of person am I? Am I that old suspicious person that sits on the bench, always passing the buck? Oh, that preacher told them. He really told them where to get off. Or am I the kind of person to say, oh my God, have mercy on me, I'm a wretch. Am I the kind of person that's always suspicious, always suspicious, always suspicious? Or am I the kind of person that's trying to have the love of God? Lord, help me. Show me the right way. Jesus, Thou art the right way. Jesus, the light of the world. He is the light of the world, friend. Hallelujah. Just worship Him for just a minute. You know, after I said that last little bit, it got under somebody's collar. It got next to somebody. I feel a better spirit. I felt somebody begin to rearrange their thinking. I felt somebody begin to think different. They begin to think, you know, that's right. That's right. Maybe I ain't been thinking right. Maybe I ain't been thinking right. Folks, it's your thoughts that's going to take you to hell, or your thoughts is going to take you to heaven. God's going to feed you the fruits of your thoughts. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. It's your thoughts. It's a world of thought. A world of thought. A mind is a world. You're living in one of those three minds. Oh, don't be mixed up. Hallelujah. While you got your hands up tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and pray for you, the closing prayer tonight. Let's reverence God. I'm going to ask him to come and pray for you. And I want him to pray sincerely tonight that God will bless you and God will heal you and God will help you and God will forgive you. God will program your mind to the wonderful work of God. And if you're not working for Jesus, work for God. You don't have to work at Little Bethlehem. You can do your own thing if you want to. If it's really a calling from God, God's calling you. But don't be a fool. Don't hypocrite around. Play around with God. Let God kill you or kill your loved ones. Don't do that. Get right with God. Get down to business with God. Mean business with God, folks. Mean business with God.